capital. Yeah. If Herdville Club wants something to improve their building, that's capital.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And the Snowmobile Club, if they want any monies to help raise money for equipment to keep maintaining the trails in McKellar, again, yeah, capital. So it's like, if you want to get into the fine print, they're pretty much all eliminated. Well, I guess that's one way of not giving
it. We could change that to say all other projects, right? We can put that in there, right? So
it doesn't sound like it's as simple as just changing a date. It sounds like the whole policy needs to be revisited. Mm. The thing is that March the 1st will come and go, and there won't be anything available. So we could extend it initially by 1 month and work on it in the interim, if you wish.
But we wouldn't have anything in our budget yet.
No. You'd have to decide to put that in as a line item and make sure that it stays, but especially if you guarantee people that. The other thing is, they could apply by such and such a date, and then you can give them an answer 3-4 months later rather than right away. But you hate that situation too, if they rely on it for moving ahead with the project.
But again, you could change the application, say they must be submitted by date X, and you know, a response should not be anticipated before date Y.
Yeah.
Right? And make it clear. And again, if that's not acceptable to the people applying, then don't apply.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Response would not be provided until the
budget.
The finalization of the annual budget.
But I mean, why not? Because it saves, you know, nobody wants to waste time on this. I mean, if it doesn't meet their needs and our timing, well, doesn't meet our needs, right, or their needs. So why not just state it? It doesn't take much verbiage to put that on the form itself.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like we'll do some amendments, our staff will. We just need a date to get the thing started, I guess, unless you want to leave the whole thing just to amend it.
Actually, it does say here, the Township Council makes the final decision on all financial assistance requests at budget time.
Yeah, so maybe we're covered.
But I mean, you could still put a general time frame on it, like, you know, in as much as, you know, 3 or 4 months, 5 months, if that's what we think is necessary. Hopefully it's not, but...
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If you went April 1st,
yeah,
it's April Fool's, probably not a good date to put in there. But then that gives maybe a couple months before you get an answer, but it's not too long.
It could even be May 1st. I have a feeling we're going to be heading that direction. And because, give us a time after we strike the budget. Okay, now we allotted, say, $3,000 total for whatever applicant. Then it gives us another month. Okay, let's look at these, hash them out. Okay, distribute the money later. Then we're not.
I'm okay with May.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
A little late.
I thought the treasurer had sent out a note at one point that we were going to complete the budget by the end of the
last year.
So, yeah. Well, it's just a case, really, just of us allotting an amount and then deciding later who gets the funds. So what we think we can afford, whether it be one or two or 1,000, I don't know.
Because we did have limitations in the scholarship student bursaries, a maximum of X amount of dollars and divided among...
That's right.
Amount of recipients.
Yeah. Okay, so we've added May the 1st annually. All the question and all those in favor? And opposed, carried. Appointment to Parry Sound District Social Services Board, Resolution 23-132, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the appointment of McDougall Councilor Joel Constable as a municipal representative to the Parry Sound District Social Services Administration Board for the 2022-2026 term of council to represent the Township of Carling, Municipality of McDougall, Municipality of Whitestone, and the Township of McKellar, Area 3. Further be it resolved that resolution number 22-487 on November 15th, 2022, wherein Councillor Morley Haskell was nominated as a representative, is hereby rescinded. Discussion? We've already voted for Janice Bray from Whitestone, so we've named our two. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Appointment to the EMS Advisory Committee, Resolution 23-133, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Tekkinen. Be it resolved that Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the appointment of McDougall Councilor Joel Constable as a municipal representative to the EMS Advisory Committee for the 2022 to 2026 term of council to represent the Township of Carling, the municipality of McDougall, the municipality of Whitestone, and the Township of McKellar. And further be it resolved that resolution number 22-492 from November 15, 2022, and resolution 23-88 from January 24, 2023, wherein Councillor Nick Ryland was nominated as a representative, are hereby rescinded. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Well, Councillor Ryland, there'd be no more deferrals anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, that happened twice to get them.
We tried.
Yeah.
I'd still like to have a longer term game plan, I guess, for how we deal with this going forward in the future so we're not shut out forever anyway. So, right, and maybe it involves lobbying at those other councils to get them to agree that it's patently unfair anyway. So,
pass a resolution for the rotational schedule for, you know, these multi representative.
Well, I had
boards and committees.
I had come up with a rotational over a decade ago. And
yeah.
The problem you run into is that you never know who's going to be sitting on the council. And if it's a certain council's time, then you're never sure whether that's the best representative for you. But, no, I think if worse comes to worse, and it's unfortunate, but you almost have to go to the ministries. And but then they tend to pass the buck too and say, well, you have to deal with it locally. Well, we're not going to do anything with it. I know what happened with Belvedere. Siegwin used to be part of our group for representation, along with McMurray Monte and Whitestone and McKellar. And then, miraculously, I don't know how it happened, but there was some lobbying that took place. Siegwin has its own now.
Well,
like they're removed from our group. And so that does happen. And I'm thinking things can be changed in legislation. A lot of times it just stays the same because it is legislated. They don't like to make changes there. It takes a while. But I guess lobbying to the certain people sometimes works. Resolution 23-134, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be a result, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint Owen Wilson and J.P. Claveau as probationary volunteer firefighters with the McKellar Volunteer Fire Department. Maybe, as Councillor Ryland recommended before, that we should put down on the recommendation of.
Yes.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah, good idea.
Well, I wouldn't see us ever passing a resolution that didn't at least have his concurrence, you know, and frankly, how would we be knowledgeable about, you know, picking somebody? So, at least speaking for myself, that's true anyway.
If it doesn't work out, we have somebody to point.
So the amendment was at the recommendation of the fire chief, Robert Morrison. First of all, call a question on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. And now on the consolidated resolution itself with the amendment included. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to bylaws. Bylaw 2023-17, being a bylaw to erect stop signs at the intersection of Herdville Road and Blackwater Road. Resolution 23-135, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2023-17, being a bylaw to erect stop signs at the intersection of Herdville Road and Blackwater Road, a first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed in open council this 7th day of February 2023. Discussion? Everybody got what you're doing? Okay. I'll just scan it here quickly.
The number one is weird. It looks like a 7, but it is actually a 1 for the record. It's kind of off. angle or something. I don't know, don't you think this looks like a seven here? Kind of, sort of.
No, I just didn't include the that part of it as well. It's just a draft, so.
Okay.
Well, Dave, did you want some comments from me?
Well.
No.
Yeah, I guess.
You got time for this?
We're okay until 11, so I guess we're okay now. I'm just not sure what this one arrow is here. That's what's new to me.
Oh.
A new arrow. Describe somewhere?
I think that got picked up from Google Maps. I don't have a clue what it means. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, I just did a screen grab from Google Maps. That's all. But, and there's some bleed through on mine. I could see the number 3 twice, but I mean, I don't have any hesitation in knowing what it means.
Okay, before we turn Councillor Hoskin loose here, I'm wondering, I mean, there is always a possibility too, and I'm not even trying to anticipate which way you're going to vote on this, of doing 2 readings instead of all 3 readings tonight, and that could be certainly open to the public for committee of the whole before we go to 3rd reading, but that's not to, you go ahead, Councillor Hoskin.
Yeah, I actually have a note to that too, that I'll be asking for a third vote and no third reading. We'll give it a couple of weeks or whatever. So then, if any public have a problem with it, then come forward.
Okay.
Now, personally, I have a couple of things. I've got information from what's called the Ontario Traffic Manual. So there's some information there, unless somebody else brings that up. But my personal opinion on this, the proposal for a 4-way stop at Herdville and Blackwater Roads. Now, you got to go there, and I've stopped there, and I've visualized myself pulling out of Blackwater and Smith Road, and this is what I've come up with. If it's changed to a 4-way stop, drivers new to this intersection arriving from Blackwater Road will stop, as it's a 4-way stop. As it would be signed as a 4-way stop, they can then proceed through the intersection, paying no attention to the oncoming traffic. They are assuming and taking the chance that traffic along Herdville and Broadbent Roads will stop, even though it appears to be a throughway. So, and I've sat there myself, and I wouldn't wish it upon anybody, and I especially think of the kids being dropped on Smith Road. A parent, once they pull to that stop sign, they can assume that they have the right-of-way to go right through that intersection without even looking. And I couldn't, if it was my grandkids getting on there, I would say, something's got to be done here. Or, well, what's got to be done is it's not changed to a 4-way stop. So anyways, that's one scenario. Another scenario is if changed to a 4-way stop and you are familiar with the intersection approaching from Blackwater Road or even Smith Road, you will then stop at the sign. Even though you can go on through the intersection without observing oncoming traffic, but because you know that other throughway, you will most likely observe to see if, in fact, any traffic is approaching. You will be hesitant to just go, as the Broadbent-Herdville Road from the angle appears to be a throughway. And that's similar to the Balsman Center Road. Deb, you've mentioned it, where they don't, on Center Road, they don't stop. Every other vehicle will just keep on motoring. That's you can put up as many signs as you want. That's what's going to continue. So you may most likely play it safe and delay to ensure traffic from the other directions does stop. So anyways, you see them coming, you're thinking, well, I'm supposed to go. That's what I'm supposed to do right now. But you see some truck barreling down there. Are you actually going to pull out there? Highly unlikely. But this will give drivers approaching from the other directions that the impression that you are in fact stopped and waiting for them to proceed through the intersection. some drivers may stop and others will continue through, even with the stop sign. They're thinking, well, they're just going to wait anyways till I'm through. So this has created confusion as to who will stop or go. A dangerous situation. The driver from Blackwater Smith Road may have been better off risking it and just going. The way the intersection works now is safe and simple, as it has been for over 100 years. Traffic arriving from Blackwater and Smith Road stops, then slowly move forward to get better sight lines, just like we got to do pulling out of Lee's Road at the dump. If you're swinging the bridle, you've got to be... The stop sign is at the back of your vehicle before you can pull out. So that's what's got to happen somewhat here anyway, also. So traffic right from, stops, then slowly move forward to get better sight lines and proceed when safe to do so. No risks, no confusion. A council in the 1990s tried the same risky experiment of making this intersection a four-way stop. The decision was later rescinded, and the intersection was changed back to the way it was originally and the way it is now, accident-free and proven safe. So anyways, I just thought I would let you know that's how I feel on this intersection. Zero accidents in 100 years. I don't see the motive of changing it and possibly creating accidents. I know I'm going to vote against it because if there is an accident, there may be repercussions. So I don't know. I don't know if anybody else has comments on it.
Councilor Cracken.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, very good document. You know, we sat here at the last meeting and we were, you know, saying, oh, yeah, maybe we'll put a stop sign or it'd be good to have one there. And I, you know, got thinking about it and, you know, I'm not opposed or for or against, you know, a stop sign. I thought, there's got to be some guidelines. And, yeah, certainly there is. There's the Ontario Traffic Manual that lays out, you know, why you have stop signs or yield signs. And there are traffic control devices to basically are available to assist in the allocation of right-of-ways. So it is a traffic allocation device to indicate who has the right-of-way. Where no traffic control device is present at an intersection of two roadways, the basic rules of the road apply. So if someone says, well, you know, the township didn't do anything, if there's an accident there, then they're liable. Well, that's not accurate because the Highway Traffic Act there's basic rules of the road that everyone's required to be aware of and follow. The Highway Traffic Act assigns priority to vehicles already within the intersection, or in the event that two or more vehicles are approaching the intersection at approximately the same time, the Highway Traffic Act requires that the driver on the left yield to the vehicle on the right. A number of traffic control devices are available to assist in the allocation of right-of-ways between vehicles in an intersection, increasing the level of control from yield signs to stop signs to full traffic signal controls. So if we were going to do anything, it would make sense to move up to the next traffic control device, which is a yield sign, because it's very interesting. You know, I thought that maybe a document such as this would be like promoting stop signs and lots of regulation. It didn't. It actually discouraged the allocation of stop signs where it's not necessary. And one of the there's a few pieces of information here that I've highlighted, but one of the maybe I'll find those. One of the things that they look at, is it warranted to have a stop sign there? So always stop control may be warranted for a location experiencing unusually high number of right angle or turning collisions as defined by comparison with similar locations throughout the screening network. So that would be for rural roads, 9 collisions in 36 months. That would be warranted to allocate a stop sign at that intersection. So All stop controls should not be used under the following conditions: at intersections that are offset, poorly defined, or geometrically substandard. So where they promote stop signs are where there's high collision rate and you have a 90-90 intersection, not ones that are offset. And in this case on Broadbent Herdville Road, it's basically a through road, and these Smith Blackwater are feeders into this main through road. Even the orientation of the road, you know, basically you can interpret it as a through road, just the way that it's structured. What else there is? And so always stop control may be considered on collector roads or rural arterial roads where the following conditions are met: the total vehicle volume on all intersection approaches exceeds 375 vehicles per hour for each of the highest 8 hours of the day. And another thing that they look at is it has a high volume of vehicular traffic as well as pedestrian crossing at that location. So the documentation, and this is a great manual for anyone to take a look at. There's 10 books in the Ontario Traffic Manual, and anything you want to know about signs or traffic situations are covered in this. The Highway Traffic Act, it sort of is consistent with that. So basically it goes, the Highway Traffic Act as well indicates that the rules of the road are yielding the right-of-way. When two vehicles enter an intersection from intersecting highways at approximately the same time, the driver on the left shall yield right-of-way to the vehicle on the right. Another thing is you need to signal your direction. So if there's any... there's a lack of understanding of who's going to do what at these intersections, are people signaling their direction? You know, or so that's part of the responsibilities of a driver.
Although, having said that, Mike, do you ever put on your turn signal when you're going through that intersection?
Yeah. Right?
Do you?
Yeah, I always do.
I don't, but
yeah.
I have.
So. But another thing is, so there is an opportunity, instead of using a four-way stop there, the next step up, Highway Traffic Act talks about yield right-of-way signs. The driver or operator of vehicle or street car approaching a yield right-of-way sign shall slow down. So if that's the concern, if people are approaching the intersection too fast, the yield serves the purpose of cautioning the vehicle drivers to slow down to a speed reasonable for the existing conditions, or shall stop if necessary, if there's another vehicle in that intersection, and shall yield the right of way to the traffic at the intersection or approaching on the intersection highway so closely that it constitutes an immediate hazard. So it's basic rules of the road. A yield sign might be helpful in that location. It seems to align with the standard practices of Highway Traffic Act and Ontario Traffic Manuals. And one of the things it does indicate as well is that if someone is wants to have further professional opinion on this, to have a qualified traffic engineer come in and assess the corner. But I think a very simple solution, if we want to do anything, is to put yield signs on the Broadbent side and the Herdville side.
Yeah, so 2 and 3 as there are in the map then. Yeah.
Yes.
So, one question, who are you yielding to if you're coming up 2 or 3?
I guess it would just be the standard responsibilities of the Highway Traffic Act is that you're yielding to whoever is at the intersection first at that.
I think that applies to stop signs, though. If you arrive at the stop sign at the same time, then you give the right of way to the person on your right. On the yield signs, it's a little more nebulous of who yields to whom. And I think that's the only problem. I see at it, because you can often see a yield sign.
Yeah.
We see them in Prairie Sound too. Am I supposed to be yielding here, or are you supposed to yield? It just says yield, and it's in the middle of an on-ramp, and so that's confusing too sometimes.
Yeah. It may be confusing, but I think it's serving the purpose of slowing traffic down a little bit, whereas stop signs in these the Ontario Traffic Manual indicates that stop signs should not be used for trying to control the speed of the traffic.
Yeah, my only concern by the accident total, we've run into that many times when we're trying to get Middle River Bridge, now the Veterans Bridge, done. How many accidents have there been there? So they never gave us any funding because there weren't any accidents, or very few. We had tried to get street lights at Tate's Island off McKellar Dick Road. Okay, it's really not a problem. Where's your data to prove that, where are the accidents? There haven't been any, so we're not approving your streetlights. The same thing with our community zone here, safety zone. We're running into problems because we don't have any data to show that there have been accidents out here, so you don't deserve one. So I'm wondering, is that going to be a good argument to use when we try to use it against the ministries at different times? You're right, there haven't been accidents, or not that I've reported that I know of. But that's not to say there can't be one. And this whole idea of saying that you have to have so many accidents, well, what if the first one's fatal? Why do you need nine if they could be prevented? Yeah. My only concern with this intersection is that, and I've driven it many times too, you're not really sure what people are going to do. If, for instance, you come from Herdville Road over to Smith Road and go straight through, the person coming down Broadbent could be going down Blackwater. It may never happen, but I'm sure it does. Mm. And who has the right of way there?
Mm. Yeah. Now, my habit, and I don't know, not everybody's probably like me, but I will almost come to, I'll put on my left hand signal.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'll pretty much come to a dead stop. If somebody's approaching from Herdville, well, then I'll just wait for them to go on through. So.
Well, I think that's good. And if everybody drove like that, no problem.
Yeah. And most people, from what I see, and I stop at the mailboxes there too, and most people drive through that when they come from Broadway. They seem to slow down and they wave, you know, kind of thing. It's not a hostile location. No. I find at all. I find people are friendly and they wave. And I just know putting the stop signs up there, there's going to be some people that are, they're going to be ticked about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then,
the thing is, it's the only stop from Orange Valley, I guess, up on the other end of our township, to Herdville.
Yeah.
There's no stops.
Yeah, and that's something in the document Mike's reading, and I have in front of me here. There's something in there with, I forget the word, but consistency through the areas. And it's funny, I was just in Oroville, too, I might have mentioned, and they're right there where their little general store is there, and the corner, 518 turns right there, and then there's the other road, like it's a busy little intersection. There's no stop signs there.
No.
That's true. And because of what they're saying in here, they want to keep traffic flowing.
Right. Oh, no, I agree.
And if you start getting people stopping there, they're all going to be looking at each other, well, who's going to go now? And some have hostilities because of the signs there. They're going to be a little more aggressive. I've seen people pull out of Blackwater Road still, unfortunately, do not stop, too. But it's a rural, very rural setting, and people just want to keep rolling, you know, to their next location. Same with at Center and Balsam Road. I've seen them roll out of Balsam Road and not stop, too.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, too, even though Debbie denies it.
Yeah. It's rare for me to ever encounter anybody at the intersection at all, just me. I mean, it's rare to see another vehicle there. I mean, I see them on the roads, but not at that intersection.
You don't have that 300 and some cars? How many?
378 an hour or something, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm surprised if we had that many in a week. But.
So I will be voting against, and I'd like to see a recorded vote, too, and wait for a third reading, because I haven't really talk to anybody about this as far as the public goes to get feedback, because I feel strongly enough that everything when working fine the way it is, and this just not necessary. So I like to see us vote on it. Hopefully it's defeated and we can concentrate on other issues going forward.
Okay, my only concern on it is that our director of operations wants it, or at least he did at the last meeting we had with him, and a member of the public spoke in favor of it. So I'm quite agreeable to having two readings and then hold off third reading to get the public out and give the opinions
for it anyways. I think they should be aware. I don't think it should just be put in place and then they had no input at all. The whole business can be deferred, even it's not a busy time of year until we get more information. But I'm not sure that the public will come out if there isn't something on the table.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I would like to put another resolution.
You want to amend this one?
No. Well, an additional one, so that if this one here, that there's an option that of two yield signs put at those two locations, 2 and 3 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it'd be 2 and 3. Yeah.
At 2 and 3.
So the southwest and northwest corners, both of them. But yeah, having said that, I personally would find it worse to have the yield signs, because if I'm yielding to somebody that's had to come to a stop. Now, if they've entered the intersection after stopping, that's different, I agree. But let's face it, lots of times there's a little bit of a gray area there as to that. So having a yield sign for me when I have the right of way because they have a stop sign, that gets very confusing to me. I think the yield sign, for me anyhow, would make it more difficult to understand. But
I think that, we'd have to see what exactly what they... Yeah. But I think that the person who is stopped needs to stay stopped until it's safe to proceed. That they don't have the right of way to proceed when the other, it's a through road.
But we're implying that by telling me, coming down Hurdville, just for the sake of argument, that I need to stop or yield because there's somebody there, even though... Now, if they've stopped and entered the intersection or halfway across or something, that's different. But I mean, if they've stopped and, you know, they're showing some intention to move, then that gets pretty freaky. And then who would be in the wrong, right? Me, who ignored the yield sign, or them who entered the intersection without checking that it's clear? And for the record, I mean, I think I mentioned at the last meeting, Sean Stanley, who lives right at that corner, mentioned to me that it's particularly difficult. The most difficult sight lines there is if you're coming up Blackwater. To that intersection, there's a stop sign there. So on the southeast corner of that intersection. And because of the way Hurdville curves like that, you really can't see down. And on the edge of his property, there's a whole bunch of cedars, if I'm right, but trees that block the view year-round. It is very difficult to see. It wasn't until he said that, so the next time I went out, I went down and turned around to the Ball Diamond and then pulled back at that intersection and sat there and thought, yeah, that's really difficult to see what's coming down Hurdville, or up Hurdville, whichever way you look at it. But and I don't know, I think a yield sign would potentially make it worse. But you're right, I mean, why not get public input on this? So if that's the case, would we have to pass this now? And then
the whole issue can be deferred, if you wish. But you can do two readings, like I said. But sure. If you defer it, I'm not sure if you're much further ahead, because people don't even know what you're doing.
So to get the public involvement would be to pass it and wait for third reading and then invite people for a committee of the whole?
I would think people would come out for a committee of the whole on an issue like this, depending on, again, on how the resolution goes.
Yeah. The best scenario would be it's defeated and we go forget about it and go on and deal with other issues that are more important. And as far as Greg being in favor or against, he basically... What I heard was, if council decides they want a four-way stop, he'll put up signs there.
Yes.
That's basically what I heard, and I don't know if... I have not seen a written report from him, and I would think he should... hopefully he has read this Ontario Traffic Manual. If he reads this, I think he'll change... If he thinks that signs should go there, he should definitely be changing his tune after you read this. So I think we should be... talking to him and ask him to read this and make a recommendation if he feels it should be a four-way stop. So right now we're basing it on a couple of statements he made. I didn't really take them as him being strongly for it by any means.
Who was the resident that spoke? Does anybody remember? Not that it matters that really, but I'm just curious.
Oh, Ragemore.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then... Morley, you would be in favor of deferring it at this time and giving it to...
No, I want it on the table. I want to vote against this.
Okay.
And then we'll do the third reading at a later date and give it's a chance for the public to come forward if they...
It's a weird input. The amendment was further be read a third time at a future regular meeting of council after the public has an opportunity to comment. So
David?
Yeah.
So if the first and second reading is passed, right?
That's a scenario.
If it was defeated, there wouldn't
be a
third.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. If the first and second reading was defeated, would you still have a third reading?
No.
Okay.
So we'd have to pass it in order to put it on the agenda to get the public input because it's on the agenda.
Right.
That's what I understand anyhow. So, yeah.
So because the way it's written currently, there's a possibility there might not be a third reading.
Right. So you don't need to put that in. You can just read it first and second reading. Cross out everything else. That's all you have to do.
Yes. First and second reading. Yes. Yeah. And then that way it requires a third reading if it moves forward.
If it moves forward, you require a third later. Yeah. Yeah. So you want to remove your amendment?
Yes.
We're going to let him write his own resolution. Minute here.
Well, that's a record for since I've been on council doing that many changes. But
now we've got two signatures. Which one came first? It's like those real estate deals, agreement of purchase and sale, back and forth, back and forth. You get signatures everywhere. You don't know who's signing what.
It's because there are members of the community that live in that area that are in favor of having a four-way stop.
Well, if this gets passed, then they have the opportunity to come out.
Sure.
If the first and second reading is passed, then those people that are concerned will have the opportunity to come and speak or, voice their opinion, right?
Mm-hmm. And even if it gets defeated, they can always bring, request council reconsider it.
Yeah.
And, provide other options. That,
but they won't really have known that it was even there, that's all. Where you have the third reading, it's written more people like, oh my god, they're going to try and pass the yards by.
I remember that.
Clean yards act.
Okay, need that read again?
Yes,
please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Resolution 23-135, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of Kellard does hereby give bylaw number 2023-17, being a bylaw to erect stop signs at the intersection of Herdville Road and Blackwater Road, a first and second reading. Any further discussion?
Should have been worded in such a way that it's going to make it a all-way stop. Like, people might be thinking, oh, you're just replacing the two existing signs, or the way that reads.
Yeah, it would clarify it for sure. So.
Yeah, the bylaw clarifies it, but you're right, the resolution doesn't.
No.
Mike, does the legislation call it a four-way or an all-way, or are either of those terms short?
Yeah, all-way, I think it is.
Yeah?
Resulting in an all-way stop sort of thing, yeah.
Sure.
That could work.
Would all-way or four-way be more appropriate?
Well, it would be a four-way.
Yeah.
I think people understand that term or use it more often. That's a guess, but that's what I think. So, yeah, all way would apply more to like Balsamwood Center where it's a three-way, right?
It does refer to all-way stop.
Okay.
All-way stop.
Oh, we got four-way. It's the same.
Yeah,
there's no fifth
people
way
will
there.
Understand.
Not that you know about it. No.
Coming out of a driveway. Here.
Maybe there's a tunnel that comes up in the middle of the intersection. I don't know.
Now, Councillor Haskin, ask the report to vote on this one.
Councillor Morley Haskin?
No.
Councillor Mike Kekkonen?
No.
Councillor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councillor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. Okay, so it's 3 yeas, 2 nays. Gary? And then the third reading of bylaw 2022-42, being a bylaw to establish and regulate the fire department. Resolution 23-136, moved by Councillor Pickman, second Councillor Zulak. First Council Corporation, Jonathan Keller, gave bylaw number 2022-42, being a bylaw to establish and regulate a fire department within the township of McKellar. First and second reading on August the 9th, 2022. Whereas resolution number 22-311 cited the bylaw being reviewed by legal representation and has been done so by Russell Christie, LLP. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2022-42, being a bylaw to establish and regulate a fire department within the Township of McKellar, a third reading and passed in open council the 7th day of February 2023. Discussion. And I realize the long pause was to get the solicitor opinion, and it looks as if somebody's replied to the solicitor as well. Is that Rob?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Rob has added his comments.
Which doesn't really change too much. He's sort of agreeing with.
He was agreeable with what Ed Belboom had suggested.
I have a concern, I guess, with a couple clauses, especially when you look back at the original establishment of the fire department. Like we talked about reprimanding and suspending, et cetera, but not firing. And so far, all the way along, our fire chief has recommended people to be passed, or the resolution to be passed, that they be added to the fire department. But he's never done it himself. He just does a recommendation. The way this bylaw reads, he can actually do it. It says, for instance, in section M, I guess this is 6.4M. It's got the conduct and discipline of all members. I think this is referring to what fire chief responsibilities and authority. Conduct and discipline of all members of the fire department, including disciplinary actions as required, which may range from reprimand to dismissal. And I think that's going too far. My understanding is, in past experience, that's where some troubles resulted in the fire department, where they were actually going for dismissal of certain people. I don't have all the facts. But it says that he should discipline. He can actually dismiss people. He can actually fire. And there's also another one. Where is it? T. Now that talks about appointment, which is a concern. He can recommend, but the appointment, promotion, and demotion of members. So I think within the department itself, there's probably no problem with having some control over discipline. But to actually appoint or to fire, I think, again, that should be left up to council.
Well, I'm curious that paragraph L in that same section says subject to approved hiring policies, although...
Yeah.
Does that refer to an actual document? Like, do we have an approved hiring policy, at least for the fire department or for, you know, the township as a whole?
I think this is it, probably. So.
Well, I mean, yeah, that could be, but so I mean...
Commenting on itself.
Yeah, but... And yeah, I'm uncomfortable with him doing it unilaterally, but...
Yeah, it should be M and T, like you had mentioned, Dave. It should be more in lines of recommend.
Right. I think that would help us.
Because it has to come to council anyway, right? To
yeah.
Have somebody removed from the fire department?
It has in the past, but I don't know what's happened in the interim.
Okay.
That's how it's written in the previous,
right.
Or the okay. Current bylaw.
And the other one, and I don't know if it's the right hour to be opening this one, but under 11 for property, no person shall use any apparatus, equipment, or other property of the fire department for any personal or private use except with prior approval of the fire chief. And this is where I have some real confusion with our Firefighters Association. Who are they? Why do they exist? They're a private corporation by the sounds of it, and yet they're using township equipment, my understanding. And that members of the Firefighters Association are the firefighters. And that our fire chief is not. So this has to be clarified, what role they have, how they were put into place, and what are they actually doing. And And then maybe Councillor Haskell can answer this one for me. It looks like from what previous information we received, they had their own, you won't answer the first part, but the second part, they had their own Christmas get together, I guess, in December, Firefighters Association. And I assume they paid for it themselves, although some question about that, who actually paid for it. And then there's something on the Sesquicentennial Committee coming up in April, some type of big dinner for the fire department. So I'm wondering why just fire department, why they're being centered out. The association's doing it as a private corporation, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they paid the rental of the hall or not. We'll have to get that straightened out. Maybe they did. But I'm a little confused on, for the Sesquicentennial, are they putting this dinner for the firefighters or the Firefighters Association, which are almost one and the same right now?
Yeah, they probably have. The committee probably hasn't really put that much thought into it. They're basically, which a lot of the events through the year, they're basically piggybacking on events that have gone on in the past. And in this case, I don't know whether this, I think this is new, maybe them having a dinner like this, the firefighters or.
Well, we used to have one for all of volunteers. Mm-hmm. The firefighters would attend and they got special recognition, the awards from the province. And we'd have the MP and MPP there. It was all rolled into one. Everybody was included, including staff, if they decided to come. But this seems to be centering just on firefighters, and I wondered why. Are the volunteers being left out of this? Or, because there are other groups. That, mm-hmm. And I know it's volunteer fire department, but they're actually getting some type of honorarium as well, I believe, through a point system. Mm. And some other volunteers are not, as they sit on committees and work throughout the year. So I'm not sure behind Sesquicentennial's decision here, but maybe, I don't know whether you have any more information.
Yeah, I don't know whether if there was talks between the two groups for them to go ahead and arrange it and the 150 would piggyback it, or whether Rob had already determined he was going to have one.
Yeah.
And the committee decided to piggyback it and make it look like a 150 celebration also. So, yeah, I don't know the details, but I guess the main thing is to distinguish, you were asking to distinguish between firefighters and the association and the roles.
Right. And I think one of the problems I had was that I just heard this in the office when I came in last week, was that, now this one that you're setting up would be for firefighters, so Rob would be invited, I would assume. For the association, the one in December, he wouldn't be invited because he's not a member of the association, apparently. That's more of a, well, I don't know whether it's a union or what it is, but it just seems a little odd to me. I can't see the dividing line here, and especially when the association, my understanding, uses firefighters' equipment, township equipment, and yet they're a private organization. Mm-hmm. And I've asked for the articles of, what is it, incorporation, mm-hmm. and I was told that I can't receive those, it's private. So this is where I'm beginning to wonder, why was the association formed? If it was just fundraising, we ran into that problem a number of years ago. The Recreation Department couldn't raise funds, raffle tickets, bingos, and run those things. So you had to form another committee to do that, which we did. But we never formed a corporation to do that. And I'm wondering where this corporation came from and now, who's even part of it? I have no idea, but to me, it's the lines are getting blurred, I think, and I'm a little concerned with what they're doing and what authority we have over them, if any.
Mm-hmm. I think we'd have to have a conversation with Rob, I think, on that. Mm-hmm.
Do we know when the corporation was signed here?
It was last council, so I don't know what year it was.
Oh, so it was just in the last term?
The association, yeah. I think the township even gave them $1,500 to incorporate.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So just a couple of years ago.
I sort of thought an association existed way back, too, didn't it not?
Well,
back in the 90s?
They did, but they called it something different, and they weren't incorporated.
Oh, yeah.
They were fundraisers.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it all started, actually, in the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
But now, yeah, things have changed in the... If it's for a promotion of workers' rights and protection of workers, et cetera, it may have good motivation.
but I'm not sure how it started here and what it does to our group. I mean,
so it wasn't a mandatory thing.
I don't think so. Again, that's another thing we can look into, surrounding townships and whether they've joined. I don't know. I don't know whether it's. I don't think it's a mandatory thing, but I think it'd be an option. It's like anything. If it's like an association, maybe they decided that they had to raise funds, and that's the only way they could do it. Is another group couldn't be part of the township. I have no idea what the motivation was. That might have been it.
And I wouldn't imagine Rob would know more than.
Definitely need some clarification, particularly regarding the articles of incorporation. Like to actually read that document just to see what it says.
Did they actually refuse to revive it, David? I mean, is the their articles?
I got that from the office, so I don't know. Carly can maybe speak to it.
Okay. I'm unaware of.
It was your note. That's why I questioned it at the time. I'd asked to see that, and I think it was in your writing. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Ina's.
No.
Okay. We'll get that clarified, but I was told that it was a private organization and that there was no.
Except you could obtain articles of incorporation from the ministry. I mean, provided you know enough details about the incorporated company. As a matter of fact, that's public policy, not our policy. It's, you know, it's not even the province. I think it's federally regulated. But even though they might be, I'm sure they are provincially incorporated. But that doesn't the regulations about making that information public, which goes into all kinds of fraud cases. Because you know, otherwise you just say I'm 1234567 Ontario Limited, and nobody knows who the hell that is. Right, so that's why you're in allowed to obtain articles of incorporation, right? And really, would they really object to us knowing them? And if so, why? Is there something to be hidden? I mean, that causes me concern, just that issue.
Absolutely. Right? Particularly if you look up the Firefighters Association of Ontario, you go to their website. You can pull up their code of conduct, their bylaws and constitution. So, like, they're I don't know how, you know, why, you know, in our case here, sure. That somehow.
I'm not jumping the gun that they did, you know, say, no, you can't have them.
No,
I mean, what would the logic of that be, right? Surely, at the very least, they would consider us a partner or an associated body, anyhow. I mean, so. Why would you want to restrict that?
Yeah, particularly when the corporation was kind enough to allocate $1,500 for the incorporation.
Sure.
You know, wouldn't you want to say, well, thank you, partner, and, you know, this is what we're doing, and this is how we're going to enhance life in McKellar Township, or...
Sure.
And yeah, well, maybe it's miscommunication.
Yeah,
we'll leave it at
so
that,
and
we'll talk to Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. A
couple other things in the document itself, the bylaw, and I guess it just references what I mentioned. And maybe Councillor Haskins' comments would work, because it's B4.4 right at the end. Put 5-6 pages in. It says recruitment, selection, promotion, retention of staff. That's fire department administration, so the recruitment one questions. I question that a little bit, depending on how you interpret that. They could recommend, I suppose, as Spencer Hoffman said.
It's an odd document for sure.
And even on the very last page, it's under discipline C5.1. Fire chief may reprimand, suspend, take disciplinary action, up to and including dismissal. And I'm not sure he should have that authority. He could certainly come and make a strong recommendation.
Yeah, I say I think should definitely for dismissal should be a recommendation of dismissal.
And the Schedule A to the chart, I don't see the Firefighters Association on that chart. Now maybe it's totally separate. It's not part of the fire department. That's what's confusing.
Yeah, that's always been the story. I've always heard this. Totally.
That says firefighters and auxiliary. Maybe that's what you were thinking of before, but The auxiliary is not the association, I'm sure. Anyway, not to belabor it, but I'm just thinking, probably should defer until we talk to Rob more.
Yeah, I guess Rob was away. I guess that's why he couldn't attend. So, is there a tight timeline to get this passed?
He would like it passed as soon as possible because we don't have one currently. But I know he would understand deferring it till another meeting, and he will be available for the next meeting, and I can work with him to
just clarify.
Yeah, and then if council wants to amend portions of it, so the authority is to council and the fire chief is just basing recommendations, we can change the document to reflect that.
So we currently do have a fire department bylaw. Wouldn't it still be on? Until the third reading is, we've done first and second reading. Right.
Right, because the previous one wasn't repealed.
Right, that'll have to be done. Yeah.
I'll look into that further.
It's an older one, 79, and then I think amended in 91 or something.
Okay.
Yeah, it even predates us. 79. We ask for a deferral on that. Call the question. That is a favor. Not opposed. Carried. we have nothing under new business. I guess it didn't show up. We're asking for a report on from our IT specialist. Public notices, announcements, and reports by council members from different committees that you've attended, maybe. So whoever wants to start that, that would be great. Go ahead, Councilor Zulak.
Well, I had the library, but Debbie Woods pretty well went over everything, so I'm not going to go over that anymore. She did a pretty good demonstration. The other, only other one I had was a Belvedere meeting, and it was done by Zoom. And they did the elections, and Kurt Coles, he's the chair from Seguin, and Paul Borman from Prairie Sound is the vice chair. And Don Carmichael, who will be the provincial rep once it's approved by the province. They did appointments to the different committees. Cammie Johnson, the administrator, she had did report and said that they've hired 3 full-time registered nurses and that 5 are needed to fill the complement. Linda Taylor for Community Support Services is working with Don Carmichael and the Lake Association on healthy aging in rural communities, and they will be starting something up in March in McKellar. And then they're having a Zoom meeting. Carly, did you hear anything? Were you invited or Ina invited to a Zoom meeting?
I wasn't. I can check with Ina tomorrow if she was.
Yeah, because it's on, not tomorrow, the next day.
It's for the clerks and treasurers, correct?
Yeah.
Art Coles did let me know of it, but okay. He didn't send me any information for it.
Okay, because that's regarding, I brought up at the meeting that McKellar wanted to have a presentation. And so then they said that they were going to go out to all of the municipalities and do a presentation. And then they've decided that they wanted to have a meeting with the clerks and the board first to decide what they can speak about and what should be enclosed. So.
Discussion with the clerk and mayor, possibly?
No. No. The clerks and the board. So that the clerk can let the council know, that's what I'm guessing, so that they can let the council know what they want discussed, what they don't want discussed in the open session, which I don't agree with.
No, they're under the excuse, I guess, that they don't want to be sued for letting personal information out, so they'll go with the clerks and get the professional opinions.
Yeah.
But whether it all has to be closed or not,
yeah,
I guess we'll leave it up to the clerks.
The information that I received about the meeting, it doesn't appear that there's anything on there that should be enclosed, but maybe when I go on the Zoom meeting that they will say more. But I find it really difficult to do Zoom, to do a meeting in Zoom. I find it really difficult.
So I know we don't have much time on this, but so this is a closed meeting in a sense through Zoom, and you're voting?
I don't know. It's, yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, Nick, don't get started. I'm just...
I don't know, because they just said they want to have a meeting with the clerks and the CAOs, right? And the board, because I got an invitation, and it's to discuss what cannot be discussed when they come to do their presentation.
Sounds like a closed meeting.
Yes.
Well, you'll be voting enclosed on the pool committee too.
Oh, I got to talk about the pool here.
Yeah, so
in 1 minute or less. So.
Since it's all enclosed, as you know.
Yep.
So it's very, I don't know, and I, like I said, I don't know. I'm representing Whitestone, McKellar, and McMurrish Monteith, but like, what hat are you supposed to be wearing? Because you're representing these three townships, right? And you're on the board for Belvedere, so like, are you supposed to be forget about the townships and vote what the board wants to do? It's very difficult, because I find that really difficult, because you're representing the people, and the people want to know, have answers. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's it.
Have a good meeting. Councillor Haskell, go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly, you've seen the rec minutes, 150th. The next event is on Saturday, a children's event in conjunction with the library. I'm volunteering to teach Crokinole.
Ooh.
Yeah, nah,
you
take it out
bad.
The old boards. You said Crokinole here at the hall at one time.
Yeah,
back in the day. Perry Sound Area Planning Board meeting, I believe there was 9 or 10 consent applications. All were approved. So that's going good. And so other than that, that's about all I have.
Well, that's good. You spoke with the planning board. That's good. And you're the new vice chair, right?
Yeah, I was elected as vice chair.
I still think you're in the chair, but anyway.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Time will tell on that one.
Yeah. Other committee reports?
Well, I described the chamber yesterday, but and I haven't been to an environment committee meeting now for a month, well, in the last month anyhow. But frankly, I think it was pretty perfunctory. Anyway, it wasn't much of anything. I mean, one of the difficulties with the Environment Committee is that, with I think only one exception, none of them are here at this time of year. They're living in, well, I wouldn't say necessarily the city, closer to the city, not locally anyhow at the time. So it makes it very difficult to do things. So. And we're short committee members, and you know, the same old story. So,
I can just give a quick run.
Yeah.
CPAC, in the last council meeting package, there was a Q4 calls for billing service report. I think that on the township website, at some point, we could have a policing link so that we can have that kind of information. And as well as the year-end billing summary report, so that those are on the township website, so that our citizens have an idea of what the calls for service are that they're being billed for, and the overall cost of OPP policing for McKellar Township, and as well the. Been a push for citizen online reporting, and in the past, when it was first introduced in 2014, province-wide. There might have been a couple of calls, but it's gaining some momentum, and it's a good, very user-friendly for anyone that wants to report any traffic. It gives you a list of what you can report and what you can't report, but even if you report something that's not on the list, an officer will contact you if it's something that needs to be attended to immediately, and so that's a very good tool for anyone that wants to report some boating traffic or boating violations or concern about boating activity out on the lake. So there was and previously the background checks for volunteering, that they were done at the detachment, and you would have to go into the detachment. It was all done now it's all done online, so that it's very convenient to anyone that wants. Within days you'll get the report back, whereas before it took weeks or months. So
I have to do a background check.
Oh well, there
for
you
Belvedere.
Are. It's all online, so you just go
and
online.
You can't fail.
Yeah. And you'll have it back in a couple of days.
It's like a loading license.
You just heard
No, I think it's all.
Maybe she could approve it before she even submits it, you know. So. But remember which hat you're wearing. You should probably grow like 3 or 4 more hats, and that might help. But
so that's
okay.
It.
Yeah, good. I'll be very brief here. There's a meeting tomorrow night of the Recreation and Cultural Center Board, and they put out the agenda, and 3 things that will be voted on. The one in particular is that they want all of their money, whatever we owe, by March 31st this year, even before we set budgets. And they have a chart. It's I don't know how much we owe at this point to top it off, but they want the final payment by then so that they can move the money around. They also want to delegate authority to the actual people, the steering committee, I guess, and in particular the chair of all that, or I think it's Clayton Harris, I'm not positive, that they can authorize, and even Gordon Gordon now, as the project managers, can authorize. The only time the board is actually involved for any payments that go out without authorization, I think it's up to $200,000 or $250,000, so that they can do all of that without coming back to the board. That's what they want to look at. And also, they want to be classified as a charity for donation purposes. So anyway, that will be discussed tomorrow night at the meeting, which is can be accessed through the Perry Sound YouTube, so it is available to the public. They've got an access site through, and I suggested to the secretary that all of that be put on their new website that they have for the pool. They have some agendas there, but they don't have minutes of the previous meeting, and so that's going to be rectified, I think. The other was the Economic Development Collaborative. I attended that, and I'll just give you the highlights of that very quickly. He was talking about business arguing that there shouldn't be any borders. We've known that from the REDAC days. And I tried to stress at the meeting that the townships, again, we have to, as a council, be responsible to the ratepayers, and that the borders are there. And we can't just, talk amalgamation and without going back to the ratepayers. They wanted to hire a consultant. It was decided to be a facilitator instead because the consultant cost about $20,000. It's all premised on the fact that the CINO grant, that was the Community Investment Initiative for Northern Ontario, I mentioned it tonight when Rebecca was here, that's run out at the end of this year. There's no more CINO money, and they're not going to give any more. They've given 2 installments so far. So if this collaborative continues, it's going to be all funded by municipalities and any grants they can get. So that's why they want a facilitator to look at a new governance model and also a new funding model. So where that goes, I don't know. What they want, apparently, is stability in the area for businesses, and also the EDO. He's the third one in the last few years, and he'd like some stability. And the new formula they're looking at is based on population and assessment. I don't know who's going to sit. Again, it's a very similar structure to the pool. The steering committee seems to be the one that's, and that's made up of CAOs. They get together and make decisions and send it back to the elected board. So that seems to be the convenient way of approaching it. So it's the same setup. And they also have
business partners, currently advisors. I asked who they were. I didn't get any answers. I don't know how much they say they have in things, but right now we're municipalities are paying 28% of the costs to run this collaborative. Most of that's a salary for the EDO. And McKellar's portion is 11%, the same as Carling, McDougall, Archipelago, and Whitestone. Perry Sound and Seguin are paying 22%. But we're paying about $6,000 $6,250 per year. And obviously if it goes all municipalities, that figure will change. And what we have to decide in the future, well, we'll see what the facilitator comes up with. I don't know who's meeting other than the clerks with the facilitator. Whether we stay as part of that board or not. And I see it as the ice cap, and I see it as, I mentioned already, the funding that's being requested of us from so many different organizations coming from all angles, and we have to make a decision of our own infrastructure. Is this above and beyond what we can afford to do? And it was interesting to hear that tonight from ICECAP that, well, you can do it in installments. It doesn't have to be all at once. Because I thought there was quite a fight over the 8,000 versus 14,000. But from what I hear tonight, maybe not.
All you got to do is ask for Sean. You have got a long story. So.
The other thing, just quickly, you got the petition that came from Deanna Jackson. She just wants to know if that can be put in the office here and if it can be put in the library. So I'll leave that with Carly to talk to the library, see if they can post that. Now, she's left a copy because she had made an 8.5 by 14 sheet. I just shortened it down to that. So this is the original that she left here, I guess. And we'd have to make multiple copies, I guess, for people who are going to sign that. So. And
who will collect these, or who will?
Don't know. I guess I have to be in touch with Deanna to see. So.
Okay.
She just emailed me and said it was set to go. And she just wanted permission. Mm-hmm. But you're right. You have to be communication
but
with her.
Where's the process in the background? Same old thing. So yeah.
And I just a quick ask of the computers. Do we have them yet? Because I don't see the signs up yet. And Greg said that he needed the computer to put the signs up.
Not yet. I was just waiting for Rashawn to get back to give Dan a budget figure.
Okay, because it seems to be taking, you know, a while. And I know we're waiting for Dan for a report, too, on the service provider. And I sort of like to see action.
Yeah, it's been a very challenging week.
With
in the office,
away, I know.
Well, and our IT this week, we've had some issues. So time has been allotted to fixing those issues and not so much the report. So Dan said he was almost finished. He had one more company he was waiting to hear back from, but he will have the report for next council meeting.
Okay. And I'm wondering in the interim, too, that with the VNet, if they can't be contacted at least to see where this, and I don't know, maybe somebody has already, but we haven't heard anything back. Officially as council, the agreement we must have with them, if we do have one, maybe they could be contacted as well.
Do you know if we have an agreement with them? Like, has anyone contacted them?
Dan was trying to find one. Staff have contacted but haven't heard anything back yet, so it's something we're going to need to keep pushing for.
They're very responsive. I call them just to see, you know, how quick they're very very user friendly, you know, so you contact them and they will pushing me for time here. Anyways, so there's no problem. There's a 1-800 number, you can call them and contact them and ask them whatever questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Resolution 23-137, moved by Councilor Keckin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that Councilor Herbergen Thompson hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. All in question, all those in favor?
Yes.
None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-138, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckin. Be resolved that Councilor Corporation Township of Keller does hereby give bylaw number 2023-18, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council the 7th day of February 2023. Call a question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Sorry, I have to sign this. Resolution 23-139, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckin. Be it resolved the Council of the Corporation Township of Keller adjourn this meeting at 11 p.m. to meet again on February 21st, 2023, or call of the mayor. Call a question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.
We'll fix that clock.
And push it back a half hour.
My mic was on.
No.
Yeah, mine went off by itself.